All right, Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at that. I'm going to read two or three other verses, and we'll talk a few minutes about this tonight. The crucified life. Galatians 5:24, the Bible says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Just a statement of fact. If you're Christ, if you belong to Christ, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's a pretty strong statement against all this sin and religion and, making saved people habitual, continual sinners. That verse really hinders that, believing that. It does for me. I read stuff like that, it makes me not believe that stuff. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38, Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Again, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." All right, pretty plain, ain't it? Are you comfortable fitting into that category of saved but not a disciple? That's a teaching that's been going on for quite a while. I read an old timer that put that forth many years ago. And, it's poison. How in the world could you imagine that you could lay down and die believing that you're saved, but you're not a disciple of Christ? Now, they make service and salvation two separate things. In other words, you can be saved, but not serving. There is no such thing as that. It's amazing to me that there's enough gullible people to swallow that, to keep it alive. All right. Basic things here tonight about being a Christian, what it is, Christianity and what it amounts to. The crucified life is not about self-denial only. It's amazing what they've taken, how the devil has worked things and convinced people of what being a Christian is about. Most people think that being a Christian is just about not doing certain things. That's really what it amounts to. This is by far the almost universal concept of bearing the cross. When we talk about cross bearing or bearing your cross, that's what most people think of. That the crucified life, being crucified with Christ, is about self-denial. Kind of like the monks who isolate themselves in a monastery in some desolate, far-off place or inside the walls, and some of them won't speak for years, won't speak a word, and all of this, thinking somehow that makes them more holy and that keeps them from doing things that are wrong, so that's how they get more holy. See, they put themselves in a situation where they can't do these certain things that makes you not a Christian. That's not what being a Christian is about. The message is not of works, but the message from that point is all about self-denial and forcing yourself to abstain from things of the world. Now, you understand what I'm saying to you here? They say, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, that's the scripture. True. Salvation is not of works. But then they make repentance works, believing works, faith. They make that a work. Everything's works, works, works. But at the same time, they demand that you abstain from force yourself to abstain from certain things. And everybody's got their own things, I read a thing today that said you could tell people that, tell certain Christians that we don't have a real copy of the Word of God, that the King James is full of mistakes, and they'll surrender to that. But tell them that it's wrong to drink liquor and they'll fight you to the death over that. So you see, things are all upside down. Now we know that a Christian doesn't walk in sin and do all these things, but that's not what makes him a Christian. And that's not only that, but that's not what bearing your cross is. Jesus is talking about if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Well, denying yourself is one thing, but bearing your cross and following Jesus is that's more than just denying yourself. That's the point I'm making. Jesus didn't simply come to the earth and abstain from worldly pleasures and sin. That's not what wrought our salvation. That Jesus came and lived a perfect life, that did not save us. He went to the cross and he died on the cross. He gave himself. He didn't come and just live a perfect life and said, "See there, you can do it." That's no. There's more to it than that. Our simply abstaining and denying ourselves is not what the crucified life is about. I mean, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's no sacrifice. It's no sacrifice on our part to just live for God and abstain from sinful things of the world. But that's not our cross. Our simply forcing ourselves to not do the things that we really want to do in our heart, that's not the crucified life. And people get that idea. I hope you're listening and following along with me here, but that's the idea that people get. I think, boy, life's so rough and this struggle I have. I mean, I want to do good, but I just can't. And when I try to do good, evil is present with me. In other words, they're just so yearning to sin and they're so lusting after the things of the world, but they're holding back. And that's their big struggle. Baloney. That ain't what it's about. God gives you the desires of your heart, and when you repent of your sin and you're saved, you don't want that anymore. You just can't tell me that's what you're yearning and longing for, and the only thing holding you back is just you just don't want to go to hell. Purposefully making our life miserable by suffering from unfulfilled desires and loneliness is not what the cross is about. It kind of refers to the monks I was talking about a while ago. No one finds a true crucified life when they go no farther than self-denial. They're not disciples of Christ. There's people all over the world do all kinds of crap. And over in the Philippines, you know, I think at about Easter time, ain't it, is when they do that stuff of nailing themselves on crosses. And down in Mexico, they go on this yearly pilgrimage to the Virgin of Guadalupe. And they bleed and they crawl on their knees and hands until there is a bleeding. And, you know, they do all this stuff to prove their devotion and self-denial. But they're not disciples of Christ. Think about that. Isn't that a shame for somebody to go to such extent, pay such a price, suffer so much, be so sincere in their delusion and miss heaven? They're not disciples of Christ. Because that ain't what makes them a disciple of Christ. That ain't what Jesus wants from us. And that ain't what we're supposed to be doing as Christians in this world. To be the light of the world. Many people, most people, I'd say, never find what the crucified life is really about because they're instructed to self-denial and then left there. And that's really the truth. Even in Baptist churches, that's all that's been taught. And that's why we've lost the whole generation in the last two or three generations. Why we've lost them, because that's all they were taught, self-denial. You got to be a good Christian, you got to deny self. Well, there's truth there. Yes, the first step in coming to Jesus is to deny yourself. But the Christian life is not about just that. There's more to it. Many fall by the wayside after following that instruction and finding themselves empty of the joy of salvation. It was sin It wasn't self-denial that crucified the Lord. It was sin. It'll be sin that crucifies us also. You'll never live a crucified life simply by denying yourself the pleasures you desire. If you listen, you'll understand what I'm getting at tonight here. It wasn't his own sin that Jesus died for, but the sins of others that crucified the Lord. Now we're talking about the crucified life, being like Paul said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And then Jesus reiterated it all the way down through there. In order to do that for us, Jesus, he had to lay down his life. He had to deny himself, if you will. Sure. But he did more than just deny himself. He laid down his life. This is the kind of self-denial that precedes a crucified life. You see? He denied himself. I read somewhere today that he washed the feet of the one that betrayed him, and he did good to all of them. He forgave the ones that crucified him. This is the kind of self-denial that precedes a crucified life. Then he was crucified. He didn't put himself first. He put others first. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, if you're going to live a crucified life, you're going to have to do the same thing he did in the same order that he did. He didn't die for his own sins. He wasn't crucified for his sins. He was crucified for the sins of others. And this is the kind of self-denial that precedes a crucified life. Putting others before yourself. With love as the power behind it, not self-seeking in any way. Putting others before yourself. See, those are just words. But how in the world can we get it down where we can understand it and put it in real practice in our life? I mean, how do you think about yourself, really, that you care more about others than you do yourself? Do you know anybody that you think maybe cares more about others than they do about themselves? Well, that precedes a crucified life. It's more than just denying yourself the pleasures, carnal pleasures. That's not what it is. That ain't nothing about being a Christian there. Love is of God. And if the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart, then we'll love others. And love, we're told, seeketh not her own and vaunteth not itself. It's not our own sin that crucifies us. You need to get that. If that's the case, then Christ died in vain. My sins are forgiven if I'm saved. He's forgiven me. My sins are gone. Is that right? I mean, ain't that what the gospel's about? I'll remember them no more. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. So my sin didn't crucify me. My sin crucified Christ. So I'm not going to, living a crucified life is not mourning over my sin. It's gone. Shouldn't be nothing about that. It's the sin of others that brings us into the crucified life. We certainly have to deny ourselves in order to bear the sins of others. That's true. But self-denial is not the essence of bearing the cross. We don't naturally want to do that. We want to condemn others for their sins. What do you think it means that when the Bible talks about love covereth a multitude of sin? What do you think it means when Jesus said, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, the Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses? I mean, how do you view the sins of other people? Do you demand punishment? Will you not rest satisfied until they get what's coming to them? Or do you desire mercy? Do you desire forgiveness for them? I mean, think about it. It's a thing you got to really work at. Because there's something in you don't want to do that. You might not go to the places you used to go, and you might not have the habits you used to have, and you might not use the profanity you used to have, and you may tithe every week and all of this. But have you forgotten the weightier matters of the law? Which is judgment, mercy, and faith. I believe Jesus named them there. But it's how we deal and view and perceive other people's sins, how we deal with it in here and in here, that tells us whether we are really crucified with Christ or not. Whether we've really crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. We certainly got to deny ourselves in order to do it. But that's not the essence of it. Modern Christianity has missed it almost entirely in this matter. Christians are the world's best example of unforgiveness. It doesn't even require sinning against each other to make Christians part company and hate each other. All they got to do is find out they don't agree on some point of doctrine, and that's it, buddy. They're done with one another. Hate one another. Set out to destroy one another. Say, no, I've had it happen to me. I've been right in the middle of it. I've seen how people, more than once, just because they don't agree, I don't agree with them, or they don't agree with me. That's it, buddy. The hate comes out. And that's supposed to be Christians who are crucified with Christ, who have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, who are motivated by love. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Sad to say. Yep, all it takes is just finding something you don't agree on. And that's wrong. Very bad testimony for Christianity. All it takes is that they don't receive the attention they think they deserve from someone. And that's it. You can't keep people in church anymore. You know, they come looking for a reason to leave instead of a reason to stay. They don't come to stay. They come to leave. They come looking for faults in other Christians. Doesn't have to be the preacher, but he's the main one. I mean, surely. And, you know, if he's going to preach an hour, he's going to say something that ain't going to suit their fancy. So that's a good reason not to go there. That's just plenty of reason not to go back. And that's the way it is. That's the world we live in. Because somebody ain't preached the gospel. A whole bunch of them ain't. They haven't told the people how it is like this. Churches didn't used to be this way. It used to be something that was desirable to be a member of a church. And the churches didn't take anybody and everybody that come along and make them a member of the church. You had to behave yourself. And if you're going to be a member of the church, you had to keep the covenant with the brethren. You had to represent the church rightly out in the community. You couldn't just do, man, they put people out of church for things that you'd laugh about right now. A lot of modern Christians are vengeful and hateful over the smallest differences. And that's the perception that the world has of the church. They know about this. Because these people who are like that, they like to go outside the church on the job and to their neighbors and to their lost family and tell it all, blab it all over what happened at church and what so-and-so said and how you don't agree with them and all that. So the world knows all about it. That's certainly not bearing your cross. Modern Christians have substituted self-denial for the cross. Just quit a few things. Just have a little bit of discipline here or there. And boy, it's got to be an awful little bit nowadays. I don't know really what most modern Christians would not do, would not agree with as far as worldliness and permissible stuff. Now you can commit fornication, it's fine. Now you can commit adultery, it's fine. Now you can drink, it's fine. Now you can be a homo, and it's fine. What in the world? They say, you know, they don't think it's fine. No, yes, they do. Don't say nothing about it. The pressure's on now to accept and to be tolerant. I mean, what are you, a hater? You're a hater if you don't say nothing. You're a hater if you're silent. Remember the law in Leviticus that we read about and how that's how that works? You don't say nothing, and you're guilty. You're held accountable. They all have different sets of standards of right and wrong, and they believe following their rules and avoiding things that are forbidden, if they just do that, they're living a crucified life. These same people, when confronted with someone who does them a terrible wrong, are vengeful and unforgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Do you understand what he's saying there? That's cross-bearing there. Yeah. Forgiving instead of demanding justice. Churches are full of it. Just full of it. I hope we don't be that way here. When will Christians learn that the crucified life is about being like Jesus? Like Jesus in being a Savior to others. You know, the Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it is, the husband's a Savior of the body. You know, Savior of the wife he's talking about. Savior, that's a pretty strong word. Jesus is the Savior of the world. But we're to be like him. And we're to be crucified with him. And we're to bear the cross. And if we're going to do that, then that means we're going to have to figure out how we deal with what people do against us. Or against others. We're going to have a different attitude about it than the old flesh has. That like we always had when we were lost. Like Jesus. When are we going to learn that being crucified with Christ is being like him? A Savior has to be free from sin himself. A sinner can't be a Savior. Do you suppose that the modern teaching that we're all habitual practicing sinners after we're saved has anything to do with the fact that there's so little cross-bearing going on? Because a sinner can't be a Savior. And we're all sinners, you know. So forget that stuff. You see how twisted it is? By identifying with sinners, we're saying that we can't forgive other people. Really? Not like Christ could. How could Christ have forgiven us if he was a sinner also? What could he have done for us? Like Jesus in forgiveness. That's how we have to be. In willingness to bear the shame and pain for someone else. The Christian is a person who makes it easy for others to believe in God. Somebody said a long time ago. How will anyone ever see Jesus if Christians are not like Christ? How are they ever going to know what he's like if ain't nobody even close to being like him? Well, we just don't measure up. So you mean that we shouldn't even try to be like Jesus? When the whole New Testament is telling us the contrary. He's our example. We're to look to him. We're to follow him. We're to be led by him. We're, the works that I do, shall ye do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, he said. This do in remembrance of me. How will anyone ever see Jesus if Christians are not like him? To be crucified means to be put to death. There ain't no other meaning there. Die. Crucified means you die. It's a death penalty. It's a method of death. Crucifixion is like an electric chair, like a hangman's noose, like a firing squad. It's how you are put to death. It's the instrument of death for you. Are you crucified? Could you say like Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Etc., etc. Can you really say that and it be true? Therefore, if we're crucified with Christ, we do not consider our own life, because it doesn't matter anymore. Oh, that's important right there. If you're crucified with Christ, you don't count your life. What does it matter? It's gone. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. But nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, I'm alive, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. So where does this stuff come from? Well, you didn't know what they did to me. I mean, let me tell you what they said, what they did to me. What about me? Don't I have any rights? Don't I count? Don't I get to say anything? Where does that come from? It ain't coming from the Spirit of God. It ain't coming from Christ who you're following. He would never tell you to do that. He didn't do that. When they said, defend yourself, he wouldn't say a word. Man, say something. Don't you know that I've got your life in your hands? The only thing he said is, ain't nobody got my life in their hands. You would have no power at all if it wasn't given to you from on high. Didn't count his own life as nothing. Others didn't either. And we shouldn't either. If we're crucified with Christ, our life's not going to count. Because it's dead. The old man's dead, right? Yep. Then who is this person who's demanding? Who's asserting himself? Who is that? We must step out of our shoes and into the shoes of Christ. We must have the same motive as he had, looking at the joy that was set before him. Wasn't that his motive? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame. In fact, there it is. I've got it written down right there to read, but Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was his motive. You know, think about it. Look at yourself real close. What is your motive? When you look at other people and their sin and their waywardness and their ignorance and their foolishness and all of this, what is your motive? In about them. You think we'll just put them all on an island and bomb it? Oh, I've heard lots of people say that. I've heard preachers say it from the pulpit. Best thing to do, just put them all on an island out there and then blow that thing to smithereens. Turn them into ashes. I remember seeing a bumper sticker years ago down in Arkansas somewhere, but it was, you know, what would Jesus do? It was, who would Jesus bomb? We got to cease from ourselves and allow Christ to rule and guide our life, especially in the matter of wrongs done to us by others. I read today there somewhere too, it said, stop making what someone did to you bigger than what Jesus did for you. Had something? Now that's the right way to think. This is the only thing that sets us apart from the world that they recognize as something divine. A real crucified life the world recognizes. That's beyond. That ain't just religion. They're not just churchy. They're not just holier than thou. They're not some religious kook, crazy. They don't think that stuff about somebody whose life has been crucified. Who is bearing the cross? Somebody who's bearing the cross, they don't think that's foolishness. It's the only thing. Apart from faith in Christ, there's no explanation for such a life. And let me read you this and then we'll quit. There was a guy named Borden. You ever see Borden Dairy or what is it? Cheese. There's this brand of Borden. Born to a wealthy Chicago businessman, he renounced his fortune to be a missionary to China. William Borden. This is written on the epitaph of his grave. Born to a wealthy Chicago businessman, he renounced his fortune to be a missionary to China. Some say that after his death at age 25, Borden's Bible was found and given to his mother. In it she found, in one place, the words, "No reserve," and a date placing the note shortly after he renounced his fortune in favor of missions. At a later point, he had written, "No retreat," dated shortly after his father told him that he would never let him work in the company ever again. Shortly before he died in Egypt, he added the phrase, "No regrets." No reserve. No return. No regrets. No retreat. Yep. Why does somebody do that? Because, boy, it's just such a luxurious life and everything's so wonderful to be a missionary and to be treated like that by his own father and family and everything. It's just such a joy. Well, anybody ought to want to do it. No, it ain't. But he didn't care about himself or money or fortune or security. He cared more about being like Christ. And that's what the essence of the Christian life is about. That's not what saves you. But let me tell you something. When somebody's saved, that's the way they act. And it's just gotten so watered down now that we don't even expect anything near that. All we expect or hope for is that people have just come to church, and we don't even hold that line anymore. You know, most people don't come to church, but they're still saved and going to heaven. They'll tell you that, and most people can't argue with it because they don't have any understanding about it either. I mean, the Christian life and the standards that Christ set and the whole New Testament set is so far above and so far removed from what the standards that are held by mainline Christianity or whatever, even as a whole, Bible-believing so-called Christianity. Same deal. They're missing it. It's not what being a Christian's about. You ought to be able to make a difference in people's lives with the attitude you have toward their sin. Take some understanding, take some study, Bible knowledge, and it takes the Spirit of God living in you to make you be able to understand all this and put it into practice in your life. Let me just tell you this, you better be careful. We all better with our tongue and our criticism and our attitude in our mind and heart toward other people and their sin. It does real good just to remember often the pit where he got us from. That ought to be plenty to make every one of us merciful Christians. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. The bar's way on out there. Don't just think you're a Christian because you don't do such and such. Yeah. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray you'd bless our hearts. Please watch over us as we go home tonight. Please work in our lives. Help us to be better Christians, Lord. Help us to be the right example before others. Pray, Lord, that we could do this sincerely. And Lord, that we'd be good ambassadors for you in this world. Oh, it's so needful. So many lost and never rub shoulders with a person who's been crucified with Christ, whose life really is about bearing the cross. They don't meet one of these kind of people. It makes the difference. Just knowing one person that's real in their Christian walk. And not just being religious and pretending and playing the game. Just meeting one like that makes all the difference. I know it does. So please help us to be sincere about this and zealous about bearing the cross and being crucified with you in Jesus' name. Amen.